You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this.
Well, hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to my guest, Lori Ballou. We talk about weight loss because about 10 years ago, Lori lost 100 pounds. So weight loss is a topic. It's not my first weight loss interview, but it is a topic that can be very personal and sometimes very confrontational. For me in this conversation and in all of the weight loss conversations, I'm the host in all of the conversations, not just weight loss, but in all of the conversations. I sometimes can get into my head with some of these topics that people in the audience might think that I am suggesting or recommending things based on who's on the show as a guest. And it's not that. I let the guests tell their story. And then you in the audience, you get to decide how you feel about whatever the topic of the day is. So just so you know, this is an example of me getting into my head about that, by the way. As a human being, where I happen to stand on the whole diet size thing is that the size that you take up as a human being on the planet and the measurement of the gravitational pull of that size on the scale, that is neither something that I'm going to make a value judgment based on or something that I feel is there for my entertainment. If you were wondering, and you're probably not, but if you were, that's just my personal opinion. That's where I weigh in on this. I support the people in my life and my audience making the changes that they want in their lives. And I know that in all of those cases, I'm not actually involved in the process. Specifically, I'm not involved in making the decision of whether you want to change your body size or, and if you do, how you want to go about it. That's always up to you. Anyway, Lori and I talk about her relationship with dieting from early on in her life, which is a very interesting part of the story. And we talk about how she found what worked for her, and she goes in the details of what she did and how she discovered it. We talk about what has changed in her life as a result of the changes she made, which includes her discovery of an adventurous version of herself, which is a wonderful part of the story. So, let's get to the conversation. Welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. Lori Ballou, I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat today?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for the invite. And I just, you know, I love chatting on these interview calls. And I think it's just great to be able to share information with other women who are talking on. Let's get it unstuck and figure out solutions. That's how I've always looked at what I do.
Very nice. I start all my conversations with the same question. Lori, what part of the world do you call home?
I'm in the Los Angeles area. I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley. I'm currently in the high desert. I've been up here for about 30 years. You know, real estate was cheaper when we were looking. So this is where we ended up. And I love the blue skies. We're having like 70 degrees in December, blue skies, no wind. It just feels amazing. And that is something I just truly adore about this area.
That's beautiful. I just learned what high desert was this year. So now I know exactly what people are talking about, but I just learned that. Before that, people would say that and I was like, I don't know what that means, but now I do. I have one more get to know you question, which is, what is one way that you incorporate art or beauty into your day-to-day life?
Art and beauty into my day-to-day life. You know, it has to do with nature. And I go outside and I ground every day. And I have these little bird statues on my fence. They're little bird, wire bird cages. And my brother just painted them white for me. So I was looking at them today. And that's kind of like my art, whatever I can incorporate into my garden and give me that peace and just make me feel grateful. And, you know, I love that. I don't know if that's really kind of the art that I look at, but that's what really lights me up is being able to get outside and enjoy the garden. It's my victory garden, and it's where I celebrate life. And to me, that's a portrait. That's my beauty. That's my art I'm creating.
I love that answer. And actually, you would have no way of knowing this, but I've been asking that question for a couple of interviews. And that's the trend. When I ask people about art and beauty, many people are saying, nature and being in nature. So I think that says it's like a common thread with the people I'm talking to. Nobody is saying museum, not yet anyway. Okay.
No, I mean, I went out for a hike yesterday. It was the blue sky blue, and to me, that is the best palette of, to build life around, that blue color.
Beautiful, beautiful. So today we're going to talk about weight loss. Are you ready to talk about that with me?
Let's do it.
All right. You shared in your introduction pitch that you began this in your early 50s. How long ago was that so that we have a sense of the time frame?
It's nearly a decade ago. I'm going to be 63 at the end of the month. And so I started this pretty much 10 years ago. And I mean, I've been looking for my health solution since my mid 30s, and it took me 20 years to find it. And once I found it, I didn't let it go. I just went with it. So I have been pivoting and correcting and adjusting, but basically living my life, aging adventurously, and figuring out what the next step is.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about that and get some details in there. At the time, you say that you were 185 pounds overweight. And so I wanted to share that with the audience. I want to get a little bit of a picture of how size and weight were showing up in your life in the first 50 years of your life. So we know what your mind frame was and your mindset was, the backstory or the story before the story, if you will. Had size and weight been something that concerned you, occupied you for a long time, or was it something that shifted in your life that was a sudden new event?
No, I had to live with it my whole life. I used 200 pounds as an adolescent before in junior high. I remember coming out as sick, chubby, and then I ballooned up to 200 pounds with massive depression, wouldn't talk. My mom tried to take me to a psychologist, and they couldn't do anything with me. So what she ended up doing was just hit the books, Elle Davis reader, and she put me on the Atkins diet. So I dropped 50 pounds, reset my metabolism then, and I started learning that, well, if we need solutions, we can read about it and find out what it is we need to do. And I didn't know I was learning that, but that's what she taught me. And so it
Okay.
began back then.
Back then. How old, say again, how old you were when you did that, the first round of Atkins?
Junior high, it had to have been about 11 or 12.
Okay. All right. The reason I ask is because there was a statistic that bounced around from the 1990s that would many young girls would try their first diet as young as 9 years old. That's something I've heard a lot. And I looked it up to find the source before I did that to make sure I wasn't right inventing it. It's just a general pediatrician statement. I found a newer statistic from the National Eating Disorders Association, which is actually a Columbia University study from a survey from 2003, where 62% of the teenage girls that they at the time of the survey reported that they were actively trying to lose weight. And so the question with all of that is, were you throughout your life, was it just that one time with Atkins, or were you trying different methods periodically, different diets and different solutions throughout your life?
Different solutions my life because I was on that merry-go-round of weight gain. I would starve myself with, either I think it was Nutrisystem, Jenny Craig, and eat less situation. I wasn't much of an exerciser. I had low energy for the most times. I was always tired. So the movement didn't really come in until later, but it was basically just trying to not eat too much of the foods that I was addicted to, craved, but I always gave in. And then it was trying to starve myself, just eating less. I didn't know that I was doing that, but that was what is put out there, the Susan powder. We were supposed to eat, don't eat any fat, but you could still have sugar. As long as you didn't eat fat, you would lose the weight. And so I would do that most of my life. And most of the women in my age, that's what we did. But it is never, I would lose some weight, but I never lost. I was never successful to keep it off. That was always the problem that many people have because I would diet. I dieted my whole life, but I didn't just diet per se to look thin. I don't think when I was in high school, I had actually maintained my weight at about 150. So I was grateful that I was at 150 and not any higher. But I didn't know how to lose weight at that point. And I was always hungry and I always had food cravings. So I really didn't diet during that time period. I just remained. And it wasn't until I reached young adulthood that I managed to get my weight down again. And it was, I think, just restricting, just eating less overall. But then it would boomerang. And then I got up to 225 pounds in my late 30s or my mid 30s. And that's when my husband at the time, I came in from an event with my son, and he asked me without even looking at me, he says, "When are you going to lose the weight?"
Ooh.
And so at that point, I went, got an exercise bike. I started reading Susan Powder. I started cutting out all the fat. I did lose weight. I got pregnant again because I did have PCOS. So it did support me at that moment. But every time I would go back to eating and eat the foods that I was addicted to and that caused me to have problems because I had sinusitis, bronchitis, and always coughing and hacking because I had food sensitivities, which I didn't understand at the time. But it was never able to keep the weight off. So I would lose it. And if I wasn't dieting, I was gaining weight. And that's the way I lived for over my whole adult life until I got to 53.
So totally off topic, but I think that Susan Powders is back in the news. Have
Is she
you?
really? I
I
haven't
think
heard.
so. So she did. She had a, she had a very popular run in the 90s, and I think that she has a new, and if I get this wrong, people can correct it. I think she's got a new show, infomercial,
Interesting.
documentary with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Wow.
Yeah, so you might, and so Google it after we are
Yeah,
done because
I
you might
will.
enjoy. If I have it right, I think that she had a bad contract, and had some rough couple of years after that. Like so, she with which is happens to anybody. Not a statement on her, but since it came up, I was like, just came into my mind. Okay, so the way you did this, you told me in the description that you lost this weight in your 50s, and 50-year-old weight loss is a whole topic on its own. It is a thing that people talk about, and there's a million different theories, and methods and a whole diet culture thing. But you shared that what you did is you changed a bunch of things in your life slowly over time. Take us through some, or I mean, if it's all, you talk about it, I think, more often than I do, but take us through some of the things and habits that you did change to make this happen for yourself.
Yeah, so what I noticed when I had done HCG at one point, and I was studying ancestral health and nutrition and the low carb diet, and I was reading the books, Dr. William Davis on the Wheat Belly book, and
Oh,
I just
yes.
learned more and more about what food does to the body and the brain. And then I was reading Gary Taubes and then insulin resistance, and it was still just percolating in my brain because I had so many food sensitivities and I had so many cravings that to really understand what I was doing, I needed a tool. I needed something that was going to support me to get me off those food cravings and make that transition. The only thing in my whole life that worked was getting excited about the keto diet, the bulletproof program, follow roadmap that would work for my brain and my body that gave me my life back. And so when I was able to find that fat could give me the energy that the carbs were destroying, then I was able to actually get my brain health back, start losing the weight, feel in control of my body for the very first time in my life. That was very empowering. It gave me confidence back. It made me feel better. My eyes started working better. My hair started growing in. I just felt like I had my life back.
All right.
Only from read all the paleo books. I picked up all the paleo cookbooks. I tried all the diet. I did HCG. I lost weight and then it all boomeranged back. And anytime I would eat wheat or have honey, I could just feel the brain fog coming in and it would just roll me over. And so I was so grateful to find the ketogenic diet because for an obesity body like mine, that was the only thing that was going to work. And none of the other direct, I mean, I worked in a health food store. I tried all the diets. I tried vegetarian. It just made me brain fogged. I couldn't live that way. And I didn't like myself. I had so much anxiety and depression. I didn't even know who I was. I never had joy. It's really
What
crazy because, yeah, I never had joy.
What is HCG? You said that a couple of
So
times.
the HCG, I don't know if I could say it correctly, but I'm going to give you a description, but it is the growth hormone
Okay.
for pregnancy. And
Yeah,
it's a
so
big
that's
long
okay.
word, right?
Yes, that's the
Yeah.
test.
And
That's
so
the
when
one
you
they.
take,
Okay.
yeah, and people still to this day, it works great. You will lose weight, but it's a 5-calorie fat-free diet, and you cannot sustain that long term.
Oh, so there's a diet that goes with taking that.
Yes, yes.
My exposure to that is when you are newly pregnant and they test your blood or your whatever they're testing. Maybe it's a pee in a cup test, and they're looking for that to multiply to say, oh yes, you are growing a new human being.
Yeah, so they put it in drops, homeopath drops, and it is to mimic the pregnancy to kind of make that switch where you will actually burn your body fat for energy because of the way they design it. But it's a fat-free, and I loved it at the time. It worked great, and it worked great for a lot of people, but everybody gains the weight back. And so it's not sustainable. It's just
Okay.
another diet that is starvation.
I had never heard of that. That's a new diet. The others that you had talked about, slim fast, low fat, high
Oh yeah,
carb.
freezing the sego shakes. My aunt taught me that. You know,
Yep.
freezing, eating
Those
them frozen. Yeah.
100%. Those I had heard of. I've done, and paleo is definitely something that I've gone on keto. Those are things, Atkins. Those I
Yeah,
have
and you know,
memory.
even with the paleo diet, it was still too much sugar for my body. I could not tolerate even fruit. I had
Okay.
insulin resistance and prediabetes before I could tolerate fruit again. So I am insulin sensitive now, but when I first started, I had to give up the fruit because of the prediabetes and insulin resistance that I'd had most of my life.
Very interesting. And I'm going to ask you this. You mentioned that your mom, you learned from watching your mom and doing those things. Did you, I mean, was this you were voraciously reading the books and applying and
Yes.
trying these things for yourself as opposed
Yeah.
to signing up for a retreat or
No, I
learning
was
from
a
a coach?
reader. My mom taught
Yeah.
me how to read. I read. I was a voracious reader, and I was, you know, I was a loner growing up, and so books were my friend. And so I didn't read any health books when I was younger. I didn't read them until I was older
Yeah.
and needed a solution. I didn't understand what was happening to me until after mid-35s, when my husband asked me when I was going to lose the weight. That's when I hit the books. That's when I started learning. But then I had too much brain fog. I didn't understand what was happening to my body. I was depressed.
And
But I had a
so,
friend.
you mentioned the book Wheat Belly, which is it's I mean it's old now. It's an older book, but the
Yeah, it's
he
older.
takes you through the sort of his theory of the wheat we eat today is not at all the wheat that our bodies were cultured to eat. And so that lends itself into that discussion. You mentioned that you had food sensitivities that you were unaware of. And so part of this, how did you figure out what you were sensitive to other than sugar? Was it through like sort of dropping the foods and noticing that you felt better?
Right. So I took a food sensitivity test.
Okay, you did.
Once I got my brain back and started keto, I actually signed up for the Adapt Functional Health Coaching Program because I got excited about learning more and I wanted to learn more. I didn't even know what I was getting into. I'm just like, this is exciting and I want to do this. But after I graduated and certified from that, I discovered functional diagnostic nutrition and I'm like, oh my God, I really need this. So I did that and knocked it out in 5 months, but I ended up taking my own food sensitivity test and I still had signs of asthma. What I was red sensitive to, not only dairy and the corn, and those are very inflammatory and they kept me sick. And so once I took all of those out, I had taken out the wheat. I didn't know I was dairy sensitive, but I would have phlegm all the time still. I would have whey protein shakes and I would have congestion. And then but I reversed. Once I took the dairy out, I was able to completely reverse asthma and all the inflammation from asthma. And I don't hardly react to allergies anymore because I have turned off my food sensitivity issues with that IgG response that I was having.
Okay,
That
so
kept me
when you
sick most of
said,
my life.
All right. So, yeah, IgG and IgE, those are the two allergy tests.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
what you're having, yeah, so it's IG, there's several of them, IgGE, IgG, IG, so many
Right.
of them. I don't think I have them completely studied, and I'm not going to be able to give you a description. It's just that if you're having an antigen response in your body and it's creating inflammatory response and you continue to eat these foods, you will create leaky gut, permeability will stay on, and you will not be able to have the immune system you want, and you will just have inflammation. And it's just a circle. It's just a perpetual problem. And that's why one of the reasons why I believe I had a sinusitis bronchitis all those years. My body was inflamed, and my allergist had told me that I would always be on an inhaler. When I asked him, I said, I wanted to get off the inhaler. What can I do? And he said, I will always be on it, because that's his understanding of people who come into his office. They never
Yeah.
heal. So, but from my body, I fixed my body. So for me, that what he said to me was wrong. Or maybe I took it as a challenge, but I'm like, I was going to figure this out. That was one of my things that really spurred me, is like, I don't want to I don't want to have asthma. I'm sick and tired of asthma. So, and then when I took the dairy out, it went away.
Yeah, it is and it is a growth field within the health industry, to be sure, food sensitivities and food allergies. But the now, when my kids who are young adults now, when they were young, there our pediatrician allergy team, they were on the lookout for, hey, if you've got eczema, you're gonna want to watch carefully for if there's hives and a reaction from dairy, because it can be related. And like you were saying, when you get, and this is true in so many things, a lot of people do believe that when you've got inflammation, chronic inflammation showing up in a variety of ways, the first thing you have to do is deal with the inflammation before you can even try and figure out what's going on. And people really struggle with it. But the reason I'm talking about it is not because I'm an expert, right? But because sometimes when you start to hear about these things, it sounds like it's crazy wackadoodle science that's not real. Like, it's like take dairy. If you've spent your whole life eating a certain way and somebody's like, hey, would you like to remove dairy and wheat and soy from your diet and see if you feel better? And you're like, well, that's everything I eat. That's everything I eat. How could that can't be real? That's got to be fake science. But for some people, it really does work. And for other people, it's really interesting because you can have one person who really responds really well to one protocol, and another person who has an absolutely different experience with food in their own body. And so it's like a really, really complicated personal thing. So this sounds to me like it was a hard process for you to figure out, and that then you finally started reading some things and trying some things, and it showed up and it worked in a really powerful way. And that became the work then, the fact that it was working became the motivation to keep going, is what it sounded like.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it as just pivoting and looking for a solution to all of the, to why my body wouldn't lose weight faster. Like, I only lost 20 pounds in the first 3 years, but I felt
Okay.
better than I'd ever felt before. So there was still something blocking me. So I did have to figure out the food sensitivities to get some more support to calm down the inflammatory response. And I was also working retail at a natural food store under the lights and with a lot of stress and pressure there. And until I started work using digestive enzymes and probiotics, that I actually got some more weight loss, because that started supporting my gut health. And then the biggest thing was really reducing the stress on leaving the bright lights in the retail environment and working from home. I could get outside ground, I could get sunlight, and I could relax my body. I dropped 20 pounds.
Okay, So
It was huge.
the gut health, and the probiotics is something that I think that if that I really think has shifted in my lifetime. I think that if somebody had told me when I was 15 or 18 years old, about probiotics and gut health, I would have thought that they were trying to sell me a supplement, honestly. And now that has sort of crossed over, and we really do understand that I think that what we understand in terms of like the people who do the research is that there's a lot to be learned about the relationship between how we digest food and how our bodies live and thrive. So what would tell me more about this a little tiny bit, like about what you think was the difference in like looking back and why what you did when you were 50 really made those changes sticky compared to the other things you tried before.
So the lifestyle that I've created since I started losing the weight versus before.
Yeah, like what made these changes stick? Yeah.
Well, one of them was I finally had a feel for my brain. I had fat to fuel my brain and ketones to run my energy. So I was excited. I
Yeah.
had more energy and I had more excitement and I had discovered joy and I felt good in my body. Prior to that, I was living with brain fog, depression, anxiety, and I never felt comfortable. And all I would do would just go and run to the store to buy yogurt, ice cream to, get my fix. That's how I lived. Always donuts, back in the day that I had to have the sugar. So once I gave it up and I was able to get ketones from my brain, that's what made the shift. That's what made it easier for me to make the changes I needed to make because I felt good. I felt better than I'd ever felt before in my life. And that's the probably why I never tried to cheat. I'm like, why would I? You know what? Because I also researched it. I read what wheat did can do to the body and wanted in my body. It
Yeah.
caused me to have want that in my body. So it was easy for me to say no to it. Once I found a fuel that gave me energy, that's what kept me going.
Beautiful, beautiful. Sometimes, for some people, turning 50 all by itself is a huge shift, and it really changes how some women show up in the world. It's like, I mean, they put this in movies. This is like a this is like a stereotype. This is like the midlife shift, right? People make big shifts at that time, unrelated to food, unrelated to anything. Was there anything else going on in your life in your mid-40s, your 40s that might have swung your mindset and prepped you to make this change?
Well, it may go back to when my husband lose the weight because I was still looking for my solution. I would
Okay.
gain the weight back and I hadn't succeeded. And I kept trying and I kept studying and I was looking to figure out how to keep the weight off, but it just kept rebounding. So I was looking throughout my whole 40s. I feel like I lost my 30s and 40s to obesity. And I wish I had, I wish somebody like at this age now, I wish somebody had told me at 35 what I know now so that I wouldn't have lost my 30s and 40s to obesity and depression.
Do you
But
think
I
you would have
didn't have that
listened?
knowledge.
Do you think in your 30s, do you think that if somebody had presented you with this protocol, do you think you would have been ready to listen?
Yeah, I mean, I
Yeah,
jumped on the
okay.
Susan Powder
Yeah.
bandwagon full on. I read all the fat-free doctors, and I was like convinced that that would be the way. They all said this is going to help you lose the weight, so I
Yes.
tried it, but I couldn't keep the weight off because it never took away my cravings. I always had the hunger, and it's as long as you have cravings and hunger that don't get satisfied, you can't use willpower forever. You're just going to go and. It's not that we're weak. It's just that willpower doesn't work when you have food sensitivities and your insulin levels are turned on. Your body is designed to seek out food. And if you're insulin resistant and your insulin levels are elevated, you will go to yourself. That's just how we're designed. It's not about willpower.
So I'm
I
going
mean,
to
I
ask you,
remember. Yeah.
yeah. So that is a really interesting thing because the very modern conversation, like the 2025 conversation about weight loss, has been really interesting because the one of the things that the very popular weight loss drugs do is they tap down with the people, they reduce the cravings and what they call the food noise. And so there's been a public conversation about the willpower discussion that for forever everybody was saying it's willpower, it's willpower, it's willpower. And people who were struggling were like, it doesn't feel like willpower. It feels like a craving I can't handle on my own. Anyway, no conversation about weight loss right now would be complete without mentioning the semaglutides and the other medicines. I know you're not a doctor. I know it's not even what we're talking about today, but do you have any general thoughts about these medications that have become wildly popular?
Yeah, I mean, they're there because people are stuck and they're not given the information and the tools to understand what's going on in their body. If somebody had given to me that in my mid-30s, I probably would have jumped right on it, just like I did with HCG in my 40s, because I didn't know that there were another way. But we actually have a GLP-1 process in our body that we can activate with more protein, but most people are not eating enough protein to activate the GLP-1 process. So you're hungry. And when you're hungry, you have cravings and food noise, and you cannot turn it off unless you get the right amount of protein in the body. But the medical system and the government doesn't tell you to go eat protein.
I
That is
feel
one of the missing things.
I feel like, I mean, as I'm so I'm 52, I feel like everybody is telling me to eat protein. I feel like people are like, "Hi, how you doing? Protein, protein, protein." I'm like, I know, I get it." All right. So, as part of the journey that you went on, so you lost 185 pounds. You did a lot of research. This is a
No, it's
lifetime,
just 100 pounds. I lost
100
100
pounds. You
pounds.
lost
Yeah, I started
100
at
pounds.
225 in my mid-30s, and then by the time I started keto, I was 185, and then I lost the rest throughout the last decade.
Okay, so
And
I
I'm keeping it
misstated.
off.
All right, I
Yes, that's okay.
misstated. I
Keeping
apologize
100
about
pounds
that.
off. That's
That's
okay.
still, that is a very impressive thing. In all of the habit change, if you study habit change and behavior conditioning, it's really interesting because they two of the groups that they use as examples for trying to research are people who have lost 50 pounds or 100 pounds and kept the weight off for, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And they look to see what the differences are of how people did that. But that's not the question. The question is, as part of this, you say you discovered a version of you that you didn't know existed. And I think this new version, tell me if I've got this right, this new version of you loves adventure. Is that
Can
right?
you ask the question? We're trying to,
Oh, yeah, sorry.
you just cut out. Yeah.
I thought, okay, so that you discovered a version of you that you didn't know existed as a part of this journey. And I think this new version of you loves adventure. Is that right?
So I love getting out in nature. That has been my spur. It makes me feel calm and relaxed. And so I started walking, and I started walking as my exercise to try to lose weight, but I never lost the weight until I reversed the insulin resistance. That was when the weight would come off. But I was able to get out in nature and reduce my stress, and I felt better. And so I just kept walking and walking until I just felt more invigorated. And then I started going to more national parks and walking more and more. I got stronger and stronger. And then all of a sudden, one day, my friend's like, "Oh, let's go to Zion." She was planning a half marathon, and I'm like, "Oh, I want to go. I love national parks." I had no idea I'd done it before, so I started training for a half marathon. And I did great. I felt good. I didn't have any pain. I was completely dialed in. I was a practitioner already at that point. And I just like, and I mean, I actually not literally, but I was like taking my supplements. I was dialing in what it is that I needed to do, and I felt great. And that spurred me on. After that, I'm like, this is the most fun I'd ever had in my life. And so to me, a half marathon is not a chore. It's something I look forward to because I do them at national parks. And so therefore, I even started back when I started my weight loss journey. My husband and I might walk down into Phantom Ranch at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, and I had excruciating knee pain. I didn't know I had degenerating knees. I just assumed it was aging and getting older. But it was right after that trip that I started the keto diet. And then I would go back to the Grand Canyon every year, every other year, and my knees would feel better. I'd feel stronger every time. So it became kind of like a journey. I would see the cons, I would feel the atmosphere, I would feel like I could see my progress, and it became my soul place. And so when I can walk the Grand Canyon, I did rim to rim the Grand Canyon 2 years ago. I just did South Rim to the river and back this past year. There's no pain in my knees, none. And
That's
so
amazing.
with the keto diet, not only did I lose the weight, I turned off my inflammation and repaired my body, and I'm building more muscle in my 60s. And so for me, that's made me feel confident. I look in my mirror, see, I've still got like a flabby abdomen, and I'm 63, and I was 225 pounds, but I look and I feel slender. I feel slender and confident in my body, and I think that's great. I feel good with myself. That has become my adventure, is just really getting outside and getting that movement, getting the sunlight, and getting walking. And that keeps me, keeps my weight off. And because that's, I've been studying this and I've been listening to podcasts where they say the people who keep the weight off are the ones who move into movement and keep increasing their movement and get their muscles stronger, then you will keep the weight off. But if you just look at losing weight as a diet, you will gain the weight back because you didn't create the lifestyle around it and create an aging adventurously lifestyle process that helps you keep the weight off. And so this has become my passion because I love it. I've just started planning another half marathon, and I have, and I'm going back to the Grand Canyon next September because this is what I love, and it keeps me activated and excited and joyful and happy. And I look forward to it.
I am very inspired by the Grand Canyon
Oh,
trip.
you're right.
It's on my to-do list. I live on the East Coast, so like the travel out there is a little bit of, I have to organize it. And
Yes.
I was hoping I was going to be able, and specifically, I know many people who've done rim to rim, which sounds great, but for the first time, I do want to be able to be in the bottom of the canyon. I want to stay
Yeah.
either in a tent or at Phantom Ranch. And I was going to try and do it this past fall, but then there was the big fire all over, I think, the North Rim. So I changed my
Yeah,
schedule.
the
It
lodge
is
burned down. It's
the lodge
so
burned down. So
tragic.
it is still on my to-do list, but I'm very inspired by that story. And I'm very inspired by the half marathons. I really, really enjoy that. I mentioned that in some of the behavior change stuff that I've studied, Charles Duhigg wrote a book about habit change, and he does a whole section about, it's research. It's a research group they use because it is such a hard behavior change, and they interview people, and it does confirm what they said. Two of the consistent things are when people move into movement, and one of the things that's really surprising about it is that the movement that works for most people is walking. People want it to be something very complicated or something very intense. But when you look at a large group of people having success for a long time, walking is underrated. And you know, and hi and it's funny to say that because hiking the Grand Canyon is very intense. Like that's a walking up out of the canyon is intense. So that's hard walking. That's not leisurely rambling.
No,
But
but you
there you go.
build up to it. That's something you build up. I built up to that. And this last one, I was stronger, and it, I'm not saying this to brag or anything, but it was easy
Were
because
you
I built
carrying
my
a?
body up. I built my body up and it was working the way I wanted it to because I fueled correctly.
So this question is not about anything other than hiking the Grand Canyon. Were you carrying a heavy pack, or did you
Just a,
like?
I have my standard hiking backpack on. So it might weigh, I don't know, 10, 15 pounds.
One of the outfitters I looked at was like, you have to be ready to carry a 35-pound pack. And I was like,
Only
that
if you're
sounds like a
backpacking.
lot. That sounds like it's very
Only if
heavy.
you're backpacking.
So that
If
I
you're
was
just walking into the canyon, no, you just need a day pack and some
okay.
good boots.
That's helpful
And
for
so
my
that's,
planning.
yeah, so that's the thing is when you want to do the Grand Canyon, the first thing you do is you just go down to the garden and try it out. How does your body feel? What's going on? Just get down there, 5 miles down, 5 miles up. That's going to show you what your body is doing, where the inflammation is. And then working to maybe correct your health into more of a lower insulin diet. So if you have issues with your knees, how can you build them up? Can you get more collagen, more creatine? Can you start taking perfect aminos? I was stronger this year than I was 2 years ago because of the process that I do to build my body up. And I don't go to the gym. I just use arm weights at home, try to do that. I walk and I keep activated, but I'm standing a lot. I fidget, I move around. I don't sit a lot unless I'm working. I'd rather be up and moving. And I
Love
think
it.
that once you get your mitochondria functioning and your brain on board with this as an aging adventurously lifestyle, then you don't lose. Then you just keep going. You keep building your carb code. You keep building the life that you want to live, and you just go out there and do it. So that's why I do the half marathons. They're not hard to me anymore. The last one I did, it was uphill at the Glacier National Park, and it was, it sounds scary. Oh, it's 5 miles uphill. And the one before that was flat in at Townsend Nash it's Townsend in Kentucky, no, Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee area. And so it was a flat course. And I did the same time with the uphill course that I did with the flat course. The only thing I did different was how I fueled. I learned that I bonked at a certain time, and I'm like, okay, so I was researching, what do I need to do with my muscles and my mitochondria to make them strong? And so I figured it out. And so I did it, and I was stronger. And by the time I got to the Grand Canyon in September, I knew how to fuel my mitochondria, so they were working for me. So my muscles had energy, and I
Very
was past
nice.
people that were young, that were old, younger than me. So
That does
that
not
was pretty
surprise
cool.
me. That does not. I get
That
passed by
was so
people.
cool.
I get passed by people who are older and younger than me in every race I do, and I enjoy
Yeah.
it. All right. All right, very good. In a second, we're going to do the final questions, but I want to give you a chance to tell people about what you do and how you want them to connect with you after they watch this great interview.
Yeah. So what I do as a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner is kind of a two for one process. It's not just weight loss. Weight loss is actually the side effect of supporting the metabolism and getting metabolic recovery. And so when you lower your insulin response in the body, you start to burn more body fat, but there's often blocks. So there's hidden healing opportunities. And what I do is I run six diagnostic labs to find out what's causing the weight loss blocks, what's causing the healing to not work. So taking away the those blocks by finding, like, is there candida? Is there parasites? Is there H. pylori? What's your digestive system doing? Is it need fixing? If your digestive system isn't functioning, the whole downstream area is going to not function, and it's going to cause you to have more weight gain and more insulin resistance. And one of the things that was really cool is I just brought on two new clients. They're sisters in their 70s, and they've had asthma their whole life. They've had thyroid issues their whole life. And the first thing I'm looking at is, optimizing what they're eating and when they're eating and how they're eating their food. As they've been very clean, their triglycerides are low, their insulin levels are low, their A1C is good, their HDL is elevated, their D3 levels are good, blood sugar levels actually look good. But why are is their metabolism not working? So we find the hidden weight loss box by using the labs. And then I take all my lived experience, all of my clinical experience, and I just find what's in the way, help you remove it, keep you strong and accountable. And that's how this program works. It's just really exciting. And one of the things that one of the client is sensitive to is a red wheat, and they've been eating gluten, and they're doing kefir, and they're dairy sensitive. So, I mean, this is your whole life at 70, and you've been eating these foods for your whole life. Like, if you're taking those and you're sick and you don't feel good and you're sick and tired and you can't move and your knees are falling apart and your eyes aren't functioning, it's something that we get to choose to do, which corrects your health fast because we take away those things that are causing it. If you bring them back in later and your body can accept it, you take things out for 3 to 6 months. Get the inflammation under control. Correct what's going on in the body. I help find this, help support you to get you there. It's really fast. 6 months, I can help you fill in the cracks and put your body back together again, like Humpty Dumpty, as your body can get to healing. You don't know what your miracles are, but if you take away the things that are making you sick and tired and you support your body, many things can happen. I don't have asthma. I don't have prediabetes. I don't have depression anymore. I'm not on any medications, and I don't have any overt disease. I had melanoma pop out of my neck a year after I started keto.
Wow.
That was my bullet, and it's never reappeared.
Wow.
But that was my bullet. You don't know what's happening inside your body until you take it in for that tune-up. Discover what's happening, like we take in our car. You got to look up under the hood. And the gut is where you need to look. And you have to look at the digestion. If you're not eating the right amount of protein, even if you're on GLP-1, if you're still eating the snacks and you're in a starvation mode and you're not getting the protein, you're going to lose your muscle. That was something that we have to pay attention to. So my process helps you maintain muscle while you lose visceral fat and inflammation as you repair what's going on in your body, the way your body is meant to heal. It just needs to take away what's wrong. And so running the diagnostic labs helps us find those hidden healing opportunities. Just exciting how it happened, how it works. So exciting.
The labs are a wonderful thing to have because the
Yeah.
alternative, before there were labs or before people could give you the labs, there was the elimination diet. And so they would take you down to, if you're having really, and I did this, we had food allergies. while I was nursing. I have a kid who has food allergies, and so I did a supervised elimination diet. It's rough, you guys. It's rough
So
because you,
this way, if you're reacting to any of the proteins, you know which ones to avoid. If you're reacting to dairy, you know that you need to minimize it and take it out for 3 months, get your body to heal. Then can you, what can you tolerate? How, you know, if you've got asthma and you're eating dairy and wheat and you're reacting to that, you're never going to get rid of the asthma. It's just as simple as that.
Very cool. All right, you have a special offer for the listeners, the audience. I'm going to share it with them. It is a holistic low carb method recipes for aging beautifully and adventurously. So this is your collection of things here. And so it's recipes. It's got a value of $27, but there's a link in the show notes or the show description on YouTube or the email newsletter for those who are subscribers so that you can get that for free. And so that is in there. The best way, the easiest way for anybody to get the links, I think, is always to be a subscriber to the email community, because then you can just click on it. It shows up in your email box and you click on it. All right, Lori, are you ready for the final three questions?
Let's have it.
All right. Do you like fresh flowers? And if so, what would you say is your favorite flower?
Oh my gosh. I like the amaryllis, especially in December. It's my birthday month, and I love amaryllis. So Costco had a three pack. And so I every Christmas I will I don't go out of my way to buy fresh flowers for the house per se, except for a special occasion, but I cannot resist an amaryllis. So that's my
Love
favorite.
it.
I just, and I, and then I can put them out in the yard and let them bloom as well because I'll just
Oh,
plant them.
nice. I love that. Okay, very good. Now, we are recording this right before the winter holidays. Are you a person who enjoys decorating your home for holidays throughout the year? And if so, what is your favorite holiday to decorate for?
I am not a decorator. I really can't keep my house even straight. I don't know how people do it.
All right.
I mean, I have piles of stuff here and there, and I'm just like, if I make my bed, I feel successful. So I don't know if you were expecting that answer, but I'm trying to think what do you know what I like to decorate? I love to celebrate meals. And in
Okay.
my book, I have a carrot cake recipe, and I like to celebrate I'm Irish. I like to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
And I like to celebrate and put out fine china and put a meal together. So what I like to do is decorate my table at
Yeah.
the holidays. That is what I love to do. I pull out green dishes, you know, green glassware for St. Patrick's Day, and I'll celebrate that way with my family. And then for my, I just made myself my own birthday keto carrot cake. It's in the freezer for the holidays, and I love just decorating the table and celebrating life with a meal to share with somebody. That's what I like to do.
I love
But
it,
the
the
rest of the house is
tablescape.
disheveled. I mean, if I mop and sweep the floors, I'm in a good shape.
That's all. That was a great answer. I have no expectation of the answers. All right, here we go. I am a person, I like gadgets and tools for a variety of things. What is something that you have in your home gym or your movement routine that you use all the time and you think everyone should have one for themselves?
I have a red light panel. I'm sitting on one right now. And then I have a panel that I use for the red light to get into my body and to help with collagen production. So I think everybody needs one of those. I have had an Oura Ring, but it just the battery just died. So I'm like feel really like I feel lost a little bit without my Oura Ring. I loved tracking my deep sleep. That was something I noticed that when I went to the Cook Islands, my deep sleep had tanked prior to that. And when I went to the Cook Islands, I had 2 weeks to myself to just really decompress and to support my circadian rhythm. It took about a week, but I noticed my stress levels went down, and when I got back, my deep sleep was higher. My heart rate was lower. My HRV was higher. And it was really incredible. So I love having an Oura Ring. I think people don't understand that just going to bed isn't going to show you that you're recovering. You need to know if you're getting sleep, deep sleep or REM sleep. I think that's critical. And then the other thing is I have a vibration plate, and I get on that every day, and I think that's important to support the lymphatic system, but it also you can exercise on a vibration plate and build more muscle. So the whole idea is as if we're in our 50s, is we need to build more muscle, we need to have the right nutrition, and we need to just look at life as something that we could create and live better longer and stay out of a nursing home? And what can we use that's going to help us do that? You need to track your heart rate. You need to build your muscle, and you need to have circadian balance and light. I think those are all critical. So it's not just diet. Diet is not going to help you lose the weight and keep the weight off. You want to look at this as a holistic lifestyle. That's why my program is called the Holistic Low Carb Method. But it's now my aging adventurous process, because I have made it stronger, more comprehensive, and I'm understanding exactly, and I can't give you a cookie cutter process or diet, or even I don't do a cookie cutter thing. Everything is 100% customizable depending on the person in front of me and their health intake. And then I can actually see what's going on in their body and know how to support them.
I love that. There is the last week I saw a video, like as I was, I'm on social media a lot because I put stuff out there and then I'm in there and I get trapped in with cute videos and
Yes.
frequently cats. But this was a video of a woman who had a vibration plate that she bought for her, but her toddler was like requesting it all the time. So there's this adorable video because the toddler thing is great fun of the toddler who gets put on the vibration plate and it's just like blah, 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 and it's so cute. It's
So funny. My
so
puppy
cute.
was sitting on it today trying to get on while I was doing it. I just got a new puppy. He's 10 weeks old. I've had him for 2 weeks, and he's trying to put his paws on it, and he was sitting on it. So I'm like, he might get up there and do it with me. I don't
I love it. I love it.
know.
That's it. Thank you so much, Lori Ballou, for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obviously, again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone. Signing off. The Imperfect Adulting podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.